So Srila Prabhupada would sing Jai Radha Madhava, a description of Vrindavan, before he speaks. So we'll sing a little Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivara Dhari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Teravanachari. Jamuna Teravanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jai Radha, Shama Sundaradha, Shama Sundaradhi. Jai Radha, Shama Sundaradha, Shama Sundaradhi. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Nittai go Haribo, 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 Nittai go Haribo. Go Premanandi, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you all for coming to Sri New Ramanreti Dham. And we have a Vrindavan Dham in India. That's where Krishna Balaram appeared, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, all the gopis, all the pastimes you hear about Krishna and all his transcendental activities, they took place in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And also Mathura, Dwarka. So I wanted to read one verse from Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna personally spoke Bhagavad Gita. So what better authority? God creates everything, this material world and the spiritual world. And through Mother Nature, we're given these bodies. You know, you have your particular mother and father. So everyone's made of the dirt of the earth. Earth, water, fire, air. You know, you can mold the dolls, make many different forms and shapes. So we see unlimited bodies, unlimited forms and shapes. But the human form of life is very important, very rare. So this is from Bhagavad Gita. Ninth chapter, because they said we should have a topic, and the topic is living in the material world. You all heard of George Harrison, right? Living in the material world. So all of us are here. We're living in this material world. So this is the second last verse of the ninth canto. King Punar Brahmana Punya. Bhakta Rajarshayastata Anityam Asukham Lokam Imang Prapya Bhajasvamam. So translation and purport. Although there are many Bhagavad Gitas, in the beginning introduction, Srila Prabhupada says there are many Gitas in India, in America, and all over the world, very popular translations by scholars and philosophers, theologians, and doctors. But many did not get the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So this is through the what we call Bhagavad Gita as it is, through the Guru Parampara. That means Krishna spoke to Brahma, and Krishna compiled this Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, 5,000 years ago. It may seem like a long time, but Krishna, Lord Brahma, lives for trillions of years, billions of years. And we're all eternal. We're ever existing, undying. In the beginning, Krishna's telling Arjuna that we've all existed in the past, we're existing now, and will continue to exist in the future. You can't be burned, you can't be cut, you can't be dried by the wind. You're eternal, pure, spiritual being, temporarily covered over by this material body, mind, and senses. So translation. Translation? How much more, this is so for the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary, miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. So there's a purport. In this material world, there are classifications of people, but after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here, anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. This world is declared by the Supreme Personality of God to be temporary and full of miseries. Some philosophers, especially Mayavadi philosophers, say that this world is false. But we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false. It is temporary. There's a difference between temporary and false. This world is temporary, but there's another world, which is eternal. This world is miserable, but the other world is eternal and blissful. Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. No one should remain in this temporary world full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. Yeah. So, not that we're pessimistic that the world is a miserable, temporary place, but we see, although there's beautiful sunshine, fruits and flowers, and we have nice families and beautiful, adorable children, but life in human body is a life of responsibility. It's not just following some religion or blindly following something, that many of us are searching for the truth or understanding, who am I? Why am I in this world? Why do I have to get old, diseased, and have to die? We're forced to die. So in this age, this is the age of Kali Yuga, and life is about 100 years. In previous ages, people would live longer lives, and there was different processes for awakening that eternal spiritual consciousness. Originally, we all are pure spiritual beings in the spiritual world. Somehow, we have our independence Krishna's giving us. Imagine Krishna, he expands himself as Balaram. The spiritual world is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. And just like when you need to have a place where people who don't want to be law-abiding, you make a prison house. So this is, we heard of Durga Ma, Lord Shiva, this material world. Although it's a reflection of the spiritual world, it's not that all the things that we see here don't exist, but everything here is temporary. But in the spiritual world, everything is everlasting, eternal. And Krishna has a very intimate relationship with each and every person. We shouldn't think, oh, I'm so insignificant. Why would God want to have a relationship with me? But Krishna expands himself, and he gives individuality. It's unique. How we can't even imagine. Just like in families, you see the child comes out, looks like the mother and father, sometimes has the mannerisms of the mother and father, and There's a connection, there's a relationship. So Krishna is the father of each and every human being. Every animal is also an eternal spirit soul. Every living thing has that spirit soul. And that spirit soul is manifest through consciousness. Just like the sunshine, when the sun is shining, it spreads its effulgence and energy throughout the universe. So our spirit, which we are the spirit soul, we're situated in the region of the heart, it's illuminating the entire body with consciousness. You press your toe, you feel it. You feel it at the tips of your fingers, everywhere. This consciousness is all pervading throughout this body. But the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that Krishna very much wants to bring us back home, back to the spiritual world. And Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, his very close friend, who is non-envious, because people in this world, they're envious, jealous. We see all the struggle for domination. We see all the fighting going on because people want money, power, people thinking that I'll make happiness in the future. Right now, people are suffering. I'm getting old, diseases there. The body's becoming weaker and weaker. And eventually, the machinery of this body breaks down where it's no longer inhabitable. We can no longer stay in this body, and we're forced to leave this body. Although we may have had a very adventurous life, beautiful wife, many nice children, nice house, big bank balance, nice cars, beautiful possessions, but everything is taken away. Everything is left behind. They say Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the money, it goes from hand to hand to hand. Nobody can hold on to it. And someone thinking, well, for my generations, for my children, I'm working hard to build an empire so that my children will be happy. But the real happiness is being described in Bhagavad Gita is it awakening our desire to go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. And there's a very clear-cut process, very scientific process. It's called bhakti. It's describing brahmana. Brahmana is one who is truthful, non-envious, godly. He's very learned from the scripture, and he can train others and guide others in spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, was ordered to carry out the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna comes again and again and again. We hear in the different books of the different incarnations of Krishna, Varaha, Nrisimha. These are all different manifestations of the Lord for the purpose of protecting the devotees and doing away with evil or non-devotees, demonic personalities. So there's every category of person in this world. But the Krishna consciousness movement is giving the medicine called Harinam Sankirtan, you know, the chanting of the Lord's holy name. And Krishna's present in his name, just like we were seeing the dancing, how Krishna's accepting the offering of food that you're offering to him. Because Krishna eats. Krishna can hear. He hears everything. He sees everything. Like the sun is the eye of Krishna, the moon, the demigods are the representatives. Just like in any big government or establishment, you have your managers and your different personalities who are taking care of all the different affairs. So Krishna, they say, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. That means he has such power just by wishing, let there be the material world, unlimited universes manifest from Krishna's just his desire. We see in the scientific magazines, many advertisements are there. Oh, there are X amount of galaxies with billions and trillions of planets, and this Earth is only one tiny little dot compared to all the different suns and universes and planets. And, you know, it's not that we are the only ones and everything else is just dust and everything is floating in outer space. Imagine these huge planets, the weight of the Atlantic, Pacific Ocean, and the size of the Earth. And what to speak of the sun is moving 16,004 miles per second throughout the universe. And one day there's a full rotation. And all the planets are very systematically floating by the energy of Krishna. We call it gravity. But without Krishna maintaining everything and providing the sunlight, the daytime, the moontime, the fruits and flowers, the various necessities of mankind, when to rain, when not to rain. Without the rain, there's no grains. Without grains, there's no food. So we all live by food and grain, and everything comes by sacrifice. We've seen in tradition, in every culture and every religion, they recognize and appreciate the gifts of God. No matter how primitive a culture may be, they have offerings of appreciation and gratitude, very ceremonious sacrifices, making, you know, different offerings to the Lord. Just like a small child, it's Father's Day, or the child may bring something for the father. It's the father's money, but the child brought it as a gift, so that devotion, that love from the child to the parent is very much appreciated. So Krishna says, patrang pushpang palang toyang yomi bhakti prayashati. That what can I offer Krishna? Offer a little fruit, a little flower, a little water, with bhakti, with devotion. So how do we muster up this devotion? Because right now, we have a vehicle which is the mind and the senses. You want to taste, you want to hear something nice, you want to see something beautiful, you want to touch something. So these are various knowledge-acquiring senses. And the senses are looking for satisfaction. Just like a tree, if you pour water on the root, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, and fruits and flowers are nourished. You're hungry. You take nice prasad, nice food. Automatically, the hands, the legs, the entire body is satisfied. Not that the hand has to squish the laddus and the different preparations, thinking, let me be the enjoyer separately. So we can't separately enjoy from Krishna. We can't forget Krishna and think that I want to have my own, you know, happiness and satisfaction. I don't need God. But without Krishna, where do we get the air? And what to speak of the complex mechanism that helps us function on a daily basis, you know? How do Krishna give you the eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to smell? Without teeth, what can you do? Just make some little, you know, chapati dough and mush it up and eat it. I mean, it's like, imagine the simplest thing. If you have no teeth, you can't even enjoy the feast, for God's sake. You know, so it's like Krishna gives us everything and every opportunity to be happy, but happy by following rules and regulations. We can't expect to become cured of a disease if we don't read the prescription on the bottle and take advice from the doctor. So Krishna, he is the original speaker of the Vedic literature. The Puranas, and the essence of all the Vedic literature is boiled down to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna, through the Mahabharata, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, which is actually meant for persons who are not really that highly elevated in understanding spiritual matters. So Arjuna is asking all the perfect questions. What are the symptoms of a godly person? What is the best way to get out of this material world? You know, what is it? What is yoga? What is meditation? What is sacrifice? Just like in any organization, there's most commonly asked questions with answers, so that, you know, to abbreviate your speculation, to give you nice questions with the answers. So Arjuna, in many places throughout the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, there are descriptions of who is a godly person, what are the qualities of godly person, what are the qualities of those persons who are demonic or against the law of God? So these are laws. Every civilization has rules and regulations and laws. So Krishna, he is providing you. You want to be happy, live a long life. You can worship the different gods, and you go to the heavenly planets. You can have a heavenly body. Imagine we're very much impressed with the people in this world, but the descriptions of the heavenly gardens and the beauty of the inhabitants of the spiritual world and the longevity of life is amazing. And people think, well, yeah, that's what I want. I want that. But then Krishna is explaining from the highest planet, which is Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet. And we see there are many planets. Earth is considered a middle planetary system. In this middle planetary system, we perform sacrifices and yajnas. We become elevated, like a merry-go-round. You go to the higher planets, and you enjoy for a long life. But ultimately, you have to come back again. Why come back? Because this is artificial. The body is temporary. We have hands, we have legs, we have a body, but it's Satchitananda, eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge, like Krishna. Just like Krishna's body, we have a spiritual body. And because somehow we've left Krishna to experiment, to try our luck at being happy in this world, which there is some happiness, obviously, but mainly it's a struggle. Because after a very short time, even though one who may be well-situated, he finds there are many difficulties. And we're not meant for that struggling. We're actually meant for awakening that divine consciousness. And the process in different ages was more difficult. In this age of Kali Yuga, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalua Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. Krishna is very kind. Because what goes on in the spiritual world? When I first was reading Bhagavad Gita from one Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, that was over 50 years ago, then I read Prabhupada's book and I saw the Back to Godhead magazine. We have a beautiful magazine. On the back cover of the magazine, it showed a bus traveling around with many beautiful people with colorful saris, dhotis, playing instruments, a nice plate of food, prasadam, and said, come and join us, chanting, dancing, and feasting. Now, this is a religion. This is real religion in the sense that what is the purpose of life? To glorify God, to hear about God, to remember him, to serve him, to surrender, to offer prayers, and to associate with those persons who are also eager to go back home and are very addicted to hearing about Krishna. In the chanting process, we may think, well, won't I get bored, get monotonous, you know, all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I heard a story that George Harrison and a few of the Beatles went cross country and they chanted the whole way, 3,000 miles. So it's addictive, actually, spiritually addictive, because the name Krishna means the most beautiful one, the most attractive personality. It's not that, this is the only name of God. God has unlimited names, but different names have different meanings. Rama, one who gives pleasure. Hare is the internal energy of the Lord, called Hladini Shakti. So God is very mysterious. The spiritual world is very, very much on a different platform than this material world. And the idea that human form of life is an opportunity to get out of this material world. I was going to the airport the other day, and there's one sign that said, last chance, quick exit for the, you know, if you keep going forward, you're not going to be able to get out, you know, so you got to catch that exit. So we have an opportunity here with Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean that we're saying that, no, don't follow Hinduism or Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or this or that ism. Everything if it's actually being followed correctly, if we're simply glorifying God and obeying God's law, then this is on a transcendental platform. It's not just some designation. But Krishna consciousness is giving knowledge from the Veda, the Vedic literature, which is spoken by Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is clear instructions, the do's and don'ts, what to do and what to avoid. You want to know that, isn't it? If you're sick, you want to know. Now, if you look on your internet, whether it's Facebook, it shows you all the good foods and all the bad foods. You know, eat this food and you'll be healthy. Avoid these things because it's going to mess up your system. So Krishna consciousness is something like that, that we want to, again, awaken that purity, which is discolored now. Right now we have rose-colored glasses. That means we see everything on a material level. So by chanting Krishna's name, by hearing the different wonderful pastimes and activities of the Lord. And how do we do that? By staying in association. You know, there's many organizations, mercantile communities, chamber of commerce. You want to do business, you want to hang out with business people who know business. You want to develop devotion and understanding of how to get out of this material world, how to become free from misery and suffering, and how to awaken unlimited happiness, then you want to be with those persons who are singing and dancing, rising early in the morning. What is time of awakening for the self-controlled, the time when people go to sleep? They're up all night looking for happiness in the nightclubs, in the bars, going here, going there, pursuing the sex desire, and different ideas of becoming happy. But ultimately, there's so much frustration and so much unhappiness. But devotees, because their mind is actually becoming peaceful, the senses are becoming peaceful by chanting Krishna's name, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and singing and dancing together. That's what goes on in the spiritual world. Singing, dancing, glorification, everyone's very beautiful. Life is eternal. And it's like, oh, that sounds like a dream. It is. It's a transcendental place. And one never has to come back to this material world of repeated birth and death. One who's dedicated to serving Krishna, Krishna gives you intelligence from inside. Krishna's everywhere. He's a person, but it doesn't mean he's become now everywhere. He's in every atom, but also he's in our heart. He understands what is our desire, what is our feelings, what is our needs and wants. And Krishna helps us to achieve those goals. He's actually providing everything for each and every one of us. Anyway, I tried to cram in as much as I could in a few minutes. But the dance was beautiful. The kirtan was very beautiful. We have a few minutes if anyone has any questions or complaints. We'll share the complaints. So thank you very much for coming. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the wonderful class, Maharaj. You mentioned chanting, hearing, association, serving Krishna as ways to increase our bhakti. What are some ways that can hold us back from developing that bhakti?
Very good question. So hearing and chanting and good association increase our bhakti, and what holds us back from that? They say, asat sanga tyag, a Vaishnavachara, that one should avoid the association of persons who are simply illusioned by this material world, meaning they're just pursuing how to become happy. Let me work hard. Doesn't matter if people are hurt. Let everybody get out of my way. You know, I'm number one. Everyone has a bit of a selfish mentality. And those who are not pursuing God consciousness, they're after sense gratification, looking how to be, you know, let's go to a bar, maybe we'll meet some people and have a good time. So by association, one can either open the door to the spiritual world, or also by associating with persons who are selfish and also not interested in developing God consciousness, that it kills the spirit of devotion. So you want to avoid associating with materialistic persons, and you want to associate with those who are clearly eager for developing their spiritual life and following the regimen. By following the regimen and good association, you become strong. Any other question, comment? Everyone enjoyed the dance? Thank you, Ma. They also had a beautiful seminar. My wife attended, I heard, at the BI, discussing about protecting the children and education. You heard so many seminars. That's basically what Krishna consciousness is, to help people understand the higher values of life, how children can be trained and develop in their own God consciousness. And I heard it was a very good experience, that the teaching is so important, that if everyone can spend a little time, chant the name of Krishna, together we'll chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I tell my grandchildren the two rules. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, by chanting the holy name. And now we're reading Bhagavatam too. So chanting the holy name, reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, association with devotees, you're on your way back home, back to Godhead. Okay? So thank you very much. I hope that you enjoy the rest of the evening. Take some prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Six o'clock.